With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates-Carney. Four people sat around a table in Helena today to start debating how to draw lines of political power on the Montana map. And they decided to ask for the public's help in picking a fifth member who could cast tie-breaking votes over the lines that will shape election districts for the next 10 years. Districts for both legislative races and, depending on the outcome of the 2020 census, how Montanans will elect a second representative to the U.S. House.
It's highly political.
Chuck Johnson is a former longtime State House reporter. He's also on the Board of Trustees for the Montana Historical Society. As an example of how big a deal the nature of these political districts are, Johnson points back to a U.S. Supreme Court ruling from the mid-1960s that sent Montana's state government and others across the country on a new course.
Most easily judicially maintainable standard of apportionment should certainly be population.
That was Charles Morgan Jr., a civil rights attorney representing Alabama voters in front of the U.S. Supreme Court in the landmark Reynolds v. Sims case. At the time of the case, Montana, like other states, elected their legislators in a similar model as the federal government. House members were elected by districts based on population, and senators were elected by districts based on geographical regions. But Morgan and a group of lawyers from Alabama argued that that wasn't right.
In this nation, there are fewer farmers than there are city people. And if you use land, or if you use political units, without population being the guiding factor, then we must of necessity reach a representative standard which will be non-responsive to the people. And the function of government, of course, should be its response to the people whom it governs.
The U.S. Supreme Court agreed in an 8-1 opinion, establishing the one-person, one-vote rule. In Alabama, the ruling expanded the political power of urban voters and African Americans. The new rules for these legislative districts also changed Montana. Again, Chuck Johnson.
Rural Montana loses its influence over the decades from the census because it's not growing much or losing population. And not uncoincidentally is when Montana started seeing major changes.
One of those changes was a reorganization of the state's executive branch, which gave more power to the position of governor. Soon after, voters called for a state constitutional convention. Montana's Secretary of State's office has pocket-sized constitutions sitting in its lobby area. On the first page of the little booklet, it notes that only 12 of the 56 counties, the most populous counties, voted for the new constitution.
The 72 Constitution is regarded by many as the most progressive and best state constitution around. Some don't agree, but so you had those two changes in the early 70s, which were remarkable. And then you had in the 1970s in the legislature, you had big Democratic majorities. That's where you saw the environmental laws passed, labor laws, human rights laws. So I think this is all somewhat related.
Montana's 2020 Redistricting Commission is in charge of redrawing the boundaries of congressional and legislative districts based on the latest population data, a process that happens every 10 years and remains politically fraught. The four-person commission is selected, one each, by the majority and minority leaders in the state House and Senate.
If you're KG, you can turn a district from one party to the other just by how it's designed.
This partisan tactic is known as gerrymandering. The delegates at Montana's Constitutional Convention struggled over how to create a redistricting commission that would be free from this kind of political tinkering. According to a transcript of the convention, Delegate Richard Nutting reportedly said, quote, "There's real problems with possibly gerrymandering of districts, and if we can keep the membership of the commission as relatively nonpartisan as we can, and we have a lot of problems trying to arrive at how to do that," unquote. Jeff Essman, a Republican appointee to the 2020 Redistricting Commission, read part of the transcript during the group's first meeting today. He read comments from Delegate Cameron Scarry.
"The impartiality we hope to get out of the chairman, whose vote would be the key vote here."
The 2020 Commission's first job is to pick a chairman, but because of the even partisan splits among the four appointed members, they rarely agree. Only one of the last 50 years of redistricting cycles has been overseen by a chairperson agreed upon by other commissioners. The rest of the time, the Montana Supreme Court has selected the chairperson. Today, the 2020 commissioners decided to allow the public to submit nominees for their fifth and final member, which will serve as the chairman and tiebreaker over the other four political appointees. The public comment will be taken until May 9th. The commission will take public input on how to break the state up into political voting districts through their redistricting planning over the next several years. Excerpts from the oral arguments in the Reynolds v. Sims were provided by Oyez, that's O-Y-E-Z, a free law project by Justia and the Legal Information Institute of Cornell Law School. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio.